Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation. You have to know this is my favorite radio station. I am your host, Lynn Richardson, and I am still committed to creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, one dime at a time. And that means you. I had such an interesting morning today. I had the opportunity to do my fast consultations, and it means financial assessment strategy time with multiple families, single women, single men, couples. And I was amazed by the vast diversity that existed. I have some people who are living in a situation where they've done everything they've been told to do. They've gone to school, got an education, got a great job, bringing in $15,000, $20,000 a month, and they're still struggling, just like the person who has not gone to school or not gotten an education and is only bringing in $1,500 a month. And what it lets me know is not only are we all in the same boat together, but the rat race has different levels. Let me repeat. Not only are we all in the same boat together, but the rat race has different levels, because the family that's making $15,000 or $20,000 a year is in a situation where the taxes is eating up half their income. So they're trying to figure out, what do I do next? The couple or the single mom or the single dad who's making $1,500 a month and spending $2,500 a month is trying to figure out, how do I spend less money than I make? And at the end of the day, it is a rat race. So today's message is inspired by one of my favorite scriptures, and it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope, plans to give you hope, plans for your future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And so I want everybody, all of us, to understand today what it means to take advantage of this topic. You see, if you want to do something different, you must know that something different needs to be done. Let me repeat. If you want to do something different, then you must know that something different needs to be done, which means you need to face the truth. One of the women that I spoke to this morning was looking at her financial situation. And after I told her, don't get overwhelmed, don't think you're in this alone, know that I'm with you, know that I'm on this journey with you, I asked her, did she have any questions? And she said, I feel so overwhelmed. What am I going to do? She went right back to where she was. And I said, listen, the only thing you have to do every single day is acknowledge the truth. If you acknowledge the truth, then you can fix your situation. I need you to stand where you are and face what you have done, face what you have participated in, face what has happened to you, because it is only when you face it do you have the power to fix it. And so today's million-dollar topic is simply how we are going to get in a position to change what it is that's not working. So today's million-dollar topic is the art of reinvention, your brand, your business, and your money. Once again, the art of reinvention, your brand, your business, and your money. And when I think about reinvention, when I think about rebranding, when I think about taking things to another level, I think about my sister. Many of you know her as MC Light, as the famous rapper from the beginning of time, the pioneer, the icon who still searches and moves in the mindset of strategy and development and expanding her empire. And just a few weeks ago, we were reading an article about her, and she was not described as a rapper. She was described as a media mogul. She was described as someone who was increasing and growing and really rebranding herself every single day. And so when I think about this topic, I certainly will be remiss if I not only, fail to talk about her, but if I fail to have her present with us. So I have with me today the iconic MC Light. Welcome to the Millionaires Roundtable, MC Light. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, wherever we are, because we never know where we are or what's happening. You know, it's morning when we're on the West Coast when we do this show, but it's in the afternoon in Chi-Town, right, and it's in the evening in London where people are listening. So we give acknowledgement to everybody who's listening at this time. You know, when I started working with you now 8 years ago. I think that's what you were after. And it was taking what you had and doing something different with it. Mm-hmm. So what was the first sign for you, like that you needed to rebrand, that you needed to reinvent yourself? What was happening with you at the time?
Oh, goodness. Well, I guess, you know, when you're in this business for such a long time, you can get burnt out on, you know, all sorts of things. But I just remember, I remember watching other people and seeing how they were kind of, to me, it looked like they were just floating into other areas of their career. But after meeting with you and us devising a plan, it was so clear to me that it was strategy.
Wow.
These were specific moves that they were making to garner that thing that they had gotten. Let's say it was a TV show, or it was a movie, or it was expansion in their business. It wasn't happen chance.
Yeah.
It took strategy to make it happen. And so seeing other people go through these different phases of their careers, I knew that it was possible for me to continue on in the business, but I needed to be able to do some other things. And that's where it actually goes into your belief of, you know, multiple streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing all of the talents that you know, putting those talents to work.
Yeah.
So it was several things.
So I imagine if I had just come to you and said, you need to reinvent yourself and this, that, the other, and I'm going to help
said,
you.
I said, I know.
Really? Do you think you would have said, I know? Was it at that particular time because you were in a certain season? What if I had said that to you 5 years earlier? What if I had just showed up and, you know, said, you need to reinvent yourself? Do you think you would have been as receptive to the changes at that particular time? Or was it something specific going on at the time when we started working together that made you open up to want to reinvent?
Well, I knew that there was a reinvention that needed to take place because at the time I was doing music supervision, I was sitting in an office behind my desk, you know, music supervisor of 5-6 television shows that was on air. But I felt like there was more that I wanted to do. I felt like my... you know, what God had for me wasn't going to be lived out in that capacity, although I did enjoy it. So when I got that call from you, I already knew, you know, a couple months prior, the light, you know, went on and was like, okay, you got to get out and you got to do something. I just hadn't made the move. And I said, God, please, you know, send me the people, send me who it is that I need that can show me how to navigate all of this change that needs to take place.
Okay, so let me just ask you the real question that I want to ask you.
Okay.
Were things going well or were things not going well? Because I think when things are going well, we may not necessarily see. And I know that we've moved into a new dimension where we're at the stage now when even when things are going well, we're always projecting for the future. But at that particular time, do you think you would have been as open to reinventing yourself if things were like going well? So were things going well for you at that time, or were they kind of taking a turn, or were you feeling like things were?
They were weird. They had been going well, but then I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't feeling, you know, the people that I was working with were sort of dodgy.
What does dodgy mean? Does it mean janky? So the people you were working with, so if you got janky people, that's a sign that you might need to do some reinvention on them or yourself.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And, you know, I wanted the business to run like a business.
Yeah.
And for several reasons, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so by then I was just getting irritated, agitated, and I was like, okay, it's time for me to move on for real.
Well, you know what? You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation. So the number one sign that you need to reinvent yourself is if it's janky all around you. You janky, they janky, it's janky. It's not going the right way. And you know what? The only thing you have to do is accept that and know that you have the power to change
that. More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation. I am your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time. Today's topic is, of course, the art of reinvention. That's right, the art of reinvention, your brand, your business, and your money. So I want to talk first. I have my sister and business partner and friend and co-laborer in all of these things, not only in business, but also in philanthropy. A part of MC Light's reinvention was us establishing and co-founding, along with our sister, Dr. Felicia Shaw, Hip Hop Sisters Foundation, where we have presented more than $1 million in scholarships over the past 7 years, between the Soul Train Music Awards, between our partnership with the NNPA, the National Newspaper Association, and through our partnerships with BET and Jada and Will Smith and their foundation and so many others who have joined this mission with us, we've been able to send people to college. Yes. We've got, you know, there are real people running around on the planet who have scholarships that were provided through the efforts of MC Light and myself and Dr. Felicia Shaw and Hip Hop Sisters Foundation. So when I think about reinvention, mm-hmm. I mean, wow, the first thing was you started giving.
Yeah, that was a huge move right there. And I think prior to that, I had lent my name and celebrity to other foundations for various, you know, various causes. But to actually be in a position where, now I was moving into being the foundation that would further someone else's education. That was a huge facelift. That was a huge retooling of using all of what it is that I have and have built all of these years, being able to use that for good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because my reinvention started with giving, and through my work with Russell Simmons and running his company for so many years, the Hip Hop Sisters Foundation, one of the things that he says and he tweets and he posts frequently is that good givers are great getters. Mm-hmm. Good givers are great getters. And so when we started working together, reinventing your brand started with you giving.
Yeah.
I remember asking you, what would you do if money was not an issue? And so that's what I ask everybody who's listening right now. Mm-hmm. What would you do if money was not an issue? If you didn't have to worry about how you were going to pay for it, how you were going to take care of yourself, and how you were going to take care of the people who you love and the community that you serve, what would you do with your time? And I remember you answering that question and you saying you would inspire people, you would help people. And so I said, okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's act the way we want to be. And sooner or later, we will be the way we act. And my reinvention, coming from being a Jack and Jill of all trades and a master of none, because you could come to my house on a Saturday and I could do your hair, write your life insurance policy, do your nails. They might be lumpy, but I do them anyway. Color your hair, write your resume, teach you how to get a man or a woman, quit one, get another one, get a job. I had all these things, but I was like being on the treadmill. I was running, but I wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I wasn't fulfilled and I wasn't making any money because I was doing things just to make money. And my reinvention, I realize now, started the day that I asked God to lead me into a career where I could, number one, help people. And my specific request was to help people in a major way. I didn't just want to help them across the street. I didn't just want to help them bag their groceries, although those are important things. We need people helping us across the street. But I wanted to help people in a major way that would impact their lives in a major way. And I didn't even know why I said all of that. I just wanted to really help people change their lives. Number two, I wanted to come and go as I please because I'm the kind of person, if you leave me alone, I'll work around the clock. But if you try to put constraints and say, be here at 9 and leave at 5, you're going to really limit my creativity. And number three, I wanted to be able to control my paycheck. I'd had enough of being in industries and in the education industry, you know, in particular, where it was all based on hierarchy and how much money or how much education you had. I felt like it should be based on productivity. If I brought more students to the campus, then I should get more money than the person who didn't, you know, or whatever the case may be. So I eventually very quickly, I might say, I reinvented myself into a financial consultant, a financial expert. That was the beginning for me. I went into the field of financial aid. I went into the field of mortgages and real estate. And from there is when I felt like I was alive. So I would say to anybody who's listening to this, the first step in the art of reinvention is to acknowledge that something needs to change and to be honest about that. I can only imagine, like, if you were in the situation as a music supervisor and allowed yourself to believe that the things that were around you weren't really happening, you'd probably still be there and still be very miserable. So that was a very brave thing to do, to acknowledge, hey, this isn't working. Because a lot of times we don't want to believe something isn't working.
No, we don't. We want to push and pull. We want to close our eyes. And it's time for change. And
yeah.
That's what it was. I had to get into the reality. I had to get into the present moment and understand that what I was hoping and wishing for was at the beginning, and that beginning can't be again. You know, it's almost like when you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like it's going really badly, but you keep holding on to those memories of the beginning. And that's how I was at that job. I was just like, oh, this is such a great position. You know, it's very convenient from where I live. And I love music. So to be able to put music in TV shows. But if the business part of what it is that you're doing isn't right, then all of the creativity, everything else really doesn't matter.
Yeah. And the other part of it is when it was working for that at that particular time.
Right.
But for now, what it is that you need, it's no longer working.
Right.
It's kind of like the post that I put out there on social media about firing people.
Uh-oh.
It's like, you know what? When people don't do their job, don't get mad. Get even. Give them what they asked for. If you don't do your job to collect the check, you don't get the check. So if you don't do your job, you don't want the check. So guess what? I'm going to give you what you asked for. No check. Uh-huh. That's just how it's going to go. Yeah. And so when you start to look at things for what they are, you know, yes, you have to peel back the layers and you have to. When I left the college and went into the mortgage business, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I tried everything I could not to leave because the students wanted me to stay. The faculty wanted me to stay. Mm. I remember Vice President Mr. Becker, he begged me to stay. He told me that I could start my new career and stay there. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, wow, that was the best of both worlds.
Right.
But guess what? That wasn't God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a conflict mm-hmm. for what it was I was supposed to do next. Mm-hmm. I wasn't supposed to have a plan B. Mm-hmm. It was a plan A, and that's it. And that is go out here and have faith and move on. So, you know, when you're thinking about reinventing yourself, the first thing is to acknowledge what it is. And then, and the second thing I would say to you is to ask yourself, what do I want to give? There's a saying that Barack Obama has that I put in many of my email signatures. And when he says, you know, if you are in life chasing a buck, that's such a small thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's only when you hitch yourself to something higher that you really begin to find the true value in life. And the way I look at it is I say, if you do what you love, the money will follow. Mm-hmm. If you do what you love with excellence, mm-hmm. the money will follow. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON. 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago. You can listen to this show anywhere at LynnMillionaire.com. And also at WVON.com. Your friends and family members do not have to be attached to a radio on top of the television. You can listen anywhere from any device at any time. So go there. Right now, we are going to take a break.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on The Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable on WVON 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, my favorite radio station. I am your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are still creating millionaires one family at a time. And if you want to get to the next level, if you want to get to a level different than the one that you are on right now, at some point and probably multiple times throughout this journey, you will need to reinvent yourself. And so you can listen anywhere, anytime at LynnMillionaire.com. Go there, click listen live. But I also encourage you not to just listen, but also to act. Because the third thing that I want to talk about, in addition to what we've been talking about during this segment or during this show is, one, to accept that a change needs to happen. Without acceptance, there is no motivation for you to do anything differently. As a matter of fact, if you are caught in a delusion, and a delusion is a fake world. Let me repeat. A delusion is a world that does not exist. Delusion is the world that says, I am making money and I'm spending money and I don't know what I'm doing wrong because I never have any money. That is a delusion, because you do know what you're doing with money. The truth is, you have to accept that what you are doing is not leading you to where you want to go. So it's not just money, it's life, it's business. It's your dreams and it's your goals. So the first step is to accept. I say the second step is to give, to find out where you can truly give from what is natural within you. I don't suggest that you go looking for something that is outside of yourself. Let me repeat. I don't suggest that you go looking for something that is outside of yourself. In my book, The Symphony, A Guide to Creating and Balancing Multiple Streams of Income, I talk about finding your purpose. And I talk about the first step in finding your purpose is just to accept who you are. You know, a fork knows that it's a fork. So a fork doesn't have to stand up and say, hey, I'm a fork. Hey, look at me. Look how I do when I am working on a steak, or when you're using me for a steak. A fork just knows that it's a fork. And because it was created to be a fork, when somebody needs a fork, they're going to come and get the fork. If somebody's eating a steak, they're not going to go and get a spoon. They're going to go and get the fork. So if you liken yourself to a fork and understand that you were made for something, and that when someone needs what you are made for, then they are going to come and get you, then you can release the anxiety. You can release the worry. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't do any work trying to better yourself. It doesn't mean that you just sit there and you accept less. It means that you operate in excellence, but you don't operate in anxiety. Let me repeat. You operate in excellence, but you don't operate in anxiety. And so this third step has to do with embracing your skills, acknowledging your talents, strengthening the areas that need strengthening, and for your weaknesses, understanding that some weaknesses you are never going to be able to overcome. As a matter of fact, there are things that I do in my business that I am great at, and there are things that I do in my business that I'm not great at. And for the things that I'm not great at, like understanding how to create a website, I go to the person who is knowledgeable in that area to create the website. I'm not going to try to strengthen that weakness. I'm not going to try to learn that skill. I'm not going to try to figure that out. Now, what I am going to learn how to do is to speak better when I speak. I'm going to learn how to listen intently when I counsel. I'm going to learn how to put my thoughts together better so that I can write my books. I'm going to strengthen those areas in the areas where I want to be strong, but in those areas where I don't have any business stepping anyway, then I'm going to get out of that lane and let somebody else do it. So I want to talk a little bit about light in this segment. Mm-hmm. when we're talking about what it's going to take to reinvent yourself. When you made the decision to reinvent yourself, and of course, you've reinvented yourself to be, you know, I think everything that you dreamed of, unless there's some more stuff that I don't know about. But, you know, you went from knowing that you wanted to act to, like, you know, I mean, you slammed it. Like, you've landed roles in SWAT and Queen of the South and movies and this new role in New York Undercover. So how did you go about the process in the reinvention of strengthening the skills that you knew were going to take you to the next level where you were trying to go?
Well, that's exactly what you just said, strengthening the skills. That's everything. So I wanted to make sure that I was prepared for all of everything that I wanted to do. So if I wanted to act, I didn't have an acting job on tap, but I knew at some point I was going to want to act and I wanted to do it well. So I didn't take for granted that just because I'm MC Light that somebody was going to hire me for a job. I went and got acting lessons. Same thing with voiceover. People say to me all the time, oh, I want to do voiceover. It's not that easy. I remember going in and meeting with an agent one time, and he told me, well, why do you want to do voiceover? I said, well, because people tell me I have a nice voice. He was like, well, I'm sorry, sweetie, but in this world, that's not enough.
Wow.
And not to mention, a really good friend of mine, Malcolm Jamal Warner, introduced me to his agent, which is unheard of. Let me tell you, in Hollywood, they don't share They don't share information. Once in a while, you'll find somebody who will at least give you a referral to something. But more than likely, you know not to ask because that is not territory that you want to, you know, go across. So I would say the most important thing that I did when knowing that I wanted to expand and reinvent is I got prepared for the reinvention. So even if it's just aesthetically, you know, say you've got a business, but you don't look like it. Matter of fact, a friend of mine started dating this guy she met on Match, and he has a huge contract. He does a lot of work. He makes great money. He had on these wonderful suits, but he was stepping out of a hoopty. She was like, wait a second, your car don't match what you got going on. And it wasn't that he didn't have the money. He just didn't have the foresight to see if he's going to complete the package of what he should look like aesthetically. He needs to put some time into that. And so he did. But all of that to say, you just have to look the part. So even if you're, you know, you're out there pushing business to entrepreneurs or whatever, you got to look the part. So, you know, sometimes you might have to color those grays. You know, some people think it's sexy and some people think it's a telltale sign that, you know, you're older, more mature, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, if you want to look the part. So even for me in reevaluating what I wanted to look like, I have to start researching hairstyles. What do I want this hairstyle to say? Do I want it to be professional, sassy, sexy, you know, urban, whatever the case is. So I think you just got to look the part and you have to be prepared. You know, Deidre Stokes, you know, legal counsel.
Attorney Deidre Stokes.
Attorney Deidre Stokes. You know, we were talking about some new technology as it relates to apps and things that you can do to better your business. You know, yeah, you don't have to know how to build an app, but you sure need to know how to use one.
Yeah.
So in the reinvention of your business, you may want to assimilate some things into the culture of your business that are new apps that can help you, you know, with your business. Especially, I think you talk about an app that helps you keep your receipts and things in order. Mm-hmm. So it's about trying new things to make your reinvention a reinvention.
Yeah. You know, and I want to talk a little bit about the part of the reinvention being your brand. What is your brand? I remember the first time, as a matter of fact, the first time that I knew I was a brand builder was when you told me, Russell told you that.
Right.
And I guess, you know, he had been observing what I was doing with the brand, with Rush Card and with some of the other things that I had an opportunity to work with. And I remember the day that I was in a meeting with a big sponsor and we were on the Super Rich Tour and I was pitching the, you know, the speaking part of the tour to the colleges so that we could empower not just the broad based world about what it meant to be super rich, which really is the state of needing nothing.
Woo!
Super rich is not having hundreds of millions of dollars. Super rich is when you need nothing.
Right.
And when you need nothing, you have no anxiety, no fear. Nobody can take anything away from you. When you have nothing to lose, then you have everything to gain.
Right.
And so I wanted college students to be able to understand this, but I also wanted them to understand the benefits of using the card that was so beneficial at the time because they could build their credit, there were prescription discounts. And so in that meeting, I was just, you know, saying what it is I believed in. I remember he walked in with the vice president of communications and I didn't break my stride. I didn't stop. I just kept going. And what I didn't realize is he was so impressed with what it was that I was saying that it had an indelible imprint on him to be able to say to you years later when you went and checked me out.
Right.
Because what did you do? You called him and was like, what's up with this lady?
Yeah. I said, what's going on with her? I need to, she called me up. She says she wants me to consider what it would be to do a foundation. She said that I want to start a foundation. And I was like, yeah, but I said, yeah, without knowing, you know, what it is that she does. Or he said, what? Lynn Richardson called you? And I said, yeah. He said, oh, you better roll with that. She's a brand builder.
And so I didn't know that I was a brand builder until I heard it from someone else.
Mm.
Until I heard the brand master, because he's taking brands and, you know, created nine-figure businesses, not six, not seven, not eight, but nine-figure opportunities. So to hear him say that to you about me, then gave me the power. So what I'm going to say to you, if you're listening to this, when we talk about reinvention, when you talk about reinvention, the reinvention that you need to do may not even be something that you've conceived of in your own mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say to you, what do people say about you? What do people say you're good at? What do people say you're great at? Because most of us minimize the compliments that others give us. Most of us minimize our talents. Most of us minimize our abilities, and we call it being humble. We call it being a servant. Let me tell you something. You can be humble. You can be a servant. You can be meek. You can help others, and you can still be great and know it. Let me repeat. You can be humble, meek, a servant, a Christian, whatever you are, and you can still be great and know it. And being great and knowing it is what you call owning your power. Mm-hmm. Because power is something that has to be used. I liken power to having a child. Now, I tell my children all the time, listen, there's no law that requires that I raise you. I don't have to raise my children. I can leave you with a grandmama, you know, at the police station or whatever. But what I can't do is neglect or abuse you.
While you're there.
I cannot neglect. I cannot abuse you. Mm-hmm. So your power is the same way. You can leave it and sit it somewhere, but you can't neglect your power. If you neglect your power, then you will fall. If you abuse your power, then others will fall and you will fall right behind them. So as you reinvent yourself, know your power, own it. Acknowledge that you have to make a change. Start from a place of giving. Expand into your skills. And I'm going to tell you what you have to do next. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM. The Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, my favorite radio station.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable on WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation. I am your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are still creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. And today we are talking about the art of reinvention, your brand, your business, and your money. And I have none other than the reinvention guru herself, MC Light, here with us today. And so we talked about the first step, accepting that something was wrong. It was really difficult for me to accept that what I was doing wasn't crap. Okay. Or was basically crap. Okay. As a matter of fact, it was crap because I had prided myself on, first of all, I was, you know, smart, or so I thought. People knew me to get straight A's in school, and I went to one of the world's finest academic institutions. And I was used to solving problems and being successful. So becoming an adult and being unsuccessful in life, or at least being unfulfilled at life, was a surprise to me. Mm. It was a shock to me because I automatically assumed that mental intellect equaled success, because that's what had happened for the first 18 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Mental intellect equaled success. Because I had mental intellect, then I could add quicker than most. I could read faster. I could score three or four grades above my grade level on academic exams. I could get straight A's. I could take AP classes. And so for that period of my life, success was measured by what happened in a classroom. Mm. And I mastered that. Mm-hmm. So nobody told me that once you are no longer in a classroom, that the classroom is life and there really is no grade. Right. There is no grade that a teacher is going to give you. So, you know, I think this is something really important for people to understand. I knew, for example, that Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard, and so did Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. And Oprah did not get her degree from Tennessee State until after she was Oprah. Mm-hmm. I think she had taken all of her classes except maybe one or two, mm-hmm. but she wound up getting her actual degree after she was already Oprah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm certainly not discarding education as a part of the academic process. But what I will say to all the smart people out there is, how smart are you really? Because that's the question I had to ask myself. I kept finding myself in dumb situations.
Right.
I had a degree in math and economics and finance. Now, how much deeper can you get when it comes to numbers? I had all three areas, you know, pretty much covered, yet I was living check to Monday. I was not living my book. I was not following the rules that I had learned, and I certainly had not had enough life application to understand that making a lot of money was not going to ensure that I kept it. So I would say to people that this final step, step in reinvention outside of accepting, giving, and understanding your skills is making sure that you have an airtight strategy.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that we put in place for you first, Light, was to, I remember that first year working with you, and I thought when I told you, because we started working together technically on the for-profit side, we started working together in June of 2012. Mm-hmm. So by November of that year, I told you we were going to have a strategy meeting for 2013. Mm-hmm. And I remember how ridiculous I felt because it was just you and I. And I was used to doing this for companies, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase and American Home Mortgage and Countrywide Home Loans and, you know, all these big companies that I had served. And there were always lots of people in these meetings and, mm-hmm. you know, different divisions. And it was just you and I.
Right.
And I remember I flew to L.A. and I said it needed to be away from the regular rigmarole of everyday life. So we got suites at, I think it was a DoubleTree Hotel or something mm-hmm. like that. And you got a room and I got a room. And then I said, okay, we're going to get together and meet. And I remember feeling kind of ridiculous because it was so small. But I also knew that the only thing I knew was what I knew. And that was to plan and strategize.
Right.
How did you feel that first year coming together to strategize about your brand?
Well, I was excited about it. Absolutely. Because I don't think, you know, way back in the day when they actually had our, they had A&R, you know, artist repertoire that happened at record labels, you would sit in a room with 20 people and
right.
they'd all bring their level of expertise and then we'd come up with this plan. But I had never done, I mean, the last time I had one of those was like in the late 90s.
Wow.
So, yes, I was extremely excited about meeting, but I also felt, wow, this is extra.
Like, right.
Like, we're doing all of this.
Right.
Like, we're going over here to this hotel. Okay, she got a room. I got a room. Then we're meeting in the conference room.
Right.
We spending this money. Like, why couldn't we just meet at a Starbucks or something, you know?
Right.
But the truth is, I was open enough to let it take place.
Yes,
and,
you were.
And it had to because, you know, strategy and planning. When I take a look back at the things that we planned out and was on our list and
yeah.
our master plan
yeah.
and see how much of that has come to fruition,
yeah.
it's almost like an ingredient to a well-made pie.
Yeah.
Like if you put all the ingredients and you bake it for the amount of time that it should be baked mm-hmm. and then you just leave it to God, it, you know, it falls into place.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what has happened throughout this business and my career, is the things that we've planned for, you know, as long as you're ready.
Right.
So it's not like I'm just asking for some magic to happen. Like,
yeah.
oh, I want to act on a TV show and I don't know the first thing to do when I'm on a set.
Right.
Of course, I prepare for that moment, but then we strategize and we wrote down the
yeah.
time. It's just magical.
Well, you know, what was interesting for me is that first year, because we came up with a list
uh-huh.
and, you know, I am a detail-oriented person. I'm an operations person by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm part Rain Man, part, you know, lady on the stage talking, laughing. I'm Rain Man and comedian. Like I can go back into both in either world. And when I'm Rain Man or when I'm focused, and no disrespect, but when I'm focused, don't talk to me. I can't come out. Like I'm really, really into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I am a people person or laughing or on stage or speaking,
mm-hmm.
then I can do that equally well. But I remember thinking when we put together the list, when I printed it out, it was like 20-something pages. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope I don't scare her to death because we got to get through this entire list because that's what I do. I get through lists and so on and so forth. And that was 2012, and we met again in 2013, and we scratched some things off the list, and we invited who is now our music director. Sean was at that meeting, and K-Rock and Marva was at that meeting. They came to the meeting virtually. But I remember in 2015, I will never forget in 2015, mm-hmm. when we had everything checked off the list from 2012. Mm. And we were still building and adding to the list and prioritizing, but that's what it takes. So I'm going to say that the last step in reinvention is to have a strategy. And whatever is in your brain is not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
Just because you think it, yes, if you think it, you can be it, but you need a strategy. And so in the symphony, A Guide to Creating and Balancing Multiple Streams of Income, I talk about the personality of an entrepreneur. I talk about the dreamer who has the vision, the thinker who has the plan. I talk about the storyteller who's going to market it, and the rainmaker who's going to bring the dollars in. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable on WVON, 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago. I encourage you to reinvent yourself, your brand, your business, and your money. And we're going to help you do just that. Go to LynnMillionaire.com, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at AskLynn.org, because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. I'm not sure.